Welcome back, everyone. Happy Wednesday to you all. And if it's Wednesday at 2:30, that means it's time to talk to our good friend Scott Reese, radio play-by-play voice of Stanford basketball and football, as well as sports anchor and reporter for KTVU Fox 2. Scott, what's going on, man? How are you doing today?
All good, my man. In fact, just heading back from the Coliseum, shooting some stuff for our A's preseason special. We did the Giants stuff yesterday, so we're starting to immerse in baseball. It's cool.
We are. It is very cool. And I will ask you, Scott, since if you've been in the fray yet, a lot of people have asked me what I expect from the A's this year, and I don't really have a good answer for that question. Do you?
Well, I know what everybody else seems to expect. I know what the national media expect. You'd be hard-pressed to find a publication that doesn't pick them last in the American League West. But, you know, you could look at that as, hey, there's nowhere to go but up, and they can only pleasantly surprise. And I think they can to some extent. I mean, obviously they're not as talented as, you know, the teams who are picked to be at the top of the division. But, you know, it's the A's, and so chemistry is a big deal. Pitching is a big deal, and I think they've got some young arms that if they mature quickly enough, like Manaea and Jarrell Cotton, who certainly looked good in auditions last year, and if Sonny Gray returns to form, and I couch this by saying the word if, unfortunately, is omnipresent when you're talking about the A's, but, you know, there are a lot of dominoes that could fall into place, and if they do, you know, this team could be better than people think.
Well, here's the question, though. If some of the things do fall into place and Sonny Gray starts to return to form, does that just mean Sonny Gray is going to be traded?
Right, yeah, and therein lies the dilemma. And unfortunately, that's the case, you know, with this team. And the answer is yes, there's an excellent chance that will happen. You know, I guess it depends what we're talking about in terms of falling into place. I mean, if this team is legitimately in contention in July, I don't think they trade Sonny Gray in July. But if the team is not in contention and Sonny bounces back and has a substantial trade value, which he didn't have a year ago, then yeah, I think the odds are probably pretty good, unfortunately.
Was anyone around the Coliseum talking about the future for the A's in Oakland now that one hurdle has been potentially removed in the Raiders now going to Las Vegas?
Well, I should couch this by saying the only people around the Coliseum were field workers and vendors, and you know, it was not like there were a lot of baseball folks milling around. But I think you definitely get a sense of just watching the local the news coverage and seeing Dave Cavill yesterday and Libby Schaff raise the A's banner. We were talking about that, you know, moments after the announcement came. I think there is a definite sense that, hey, you know, we got one team left here that's going to be in Oakland long term, so you definitely see. I think you're going to see the community really rallying around the A's.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because does that, not that there is a wrong choice, but are the A's the right choice in your opinion because of the 81 dates versus 8-10 for the Raiders?
There's definitely an argument to be made that is, you know, a big reason you could state that. You know, I think that if you asked Oakland sports fans, if you said, okay, you've got a choice, you can keep the A's or you can keep the Raiders, I don't know that the A's would win that battle. Mm-hmm. But from a dollars and cents standpoint, and frankly, you know, whether or not that is it's the right case, it doesn't matter. I mean, you know, the A's weren't going anywhere. The Raiders were going somewhere, and Mark Davis made sure of it. So at the end of the day, you know, it really no longer matters whether it's the right team that's still here.
Well, I just think when you do look at the dollars and cents, I feel like that's something more and more sports fans need to do, Scott, because I feel like they get emotionally involved in teams like Raiders fans, who I feel very bad for today. But at the same time, it's like, listen, it's always been about money. It was about money the last time they left. It was about money when they came back, and now they're leaving for money.
Of course, that's what it, I mean, yeah, it's naive to think otherwise. Of course, it's about money. And, you know, it's about a group of owners who didn't want to set a precedent that would come back to potentially bite them, you know, down the road in terms of publicly financed stadiums and whatnot. And they made their choices based on what was going to line their pockets with the most cash. And this was it. I mean, they're fascinated with Vegas. You could tell. You just see it, you know, with the Jerry Joneses and Robert Krafts and all the interviews and some of the brief moments that you saw. I mean, these owners, I think, are giddy over what's going on. And it clearly starts with the guy who is, you know, primarily responsible for this move, and that's Mark Davis. And look, it's been painfully obvious for a year now that this is what he has wanted, probably a lot longer than that. But, I mean, he wanted to take, you know, my heart is in Oakland and I feel for the fan. Come on. I mean, clearly Mark Davis wanted to do this. He wanted to move the team to Vegas. He's getting exactly what he wants. He's getting a ton of money in the process. He's getting a state-of-the-art stadium. And, you know, the owners have back in the long term as well.
Well, I think the owners also look at this, you know, with the idea of getting the Raiders into Vegas, is now they can really get in on the gambling world. And I think it's some, there was some sort of watershed moment, some sort of paradigm shift, because a couple of years ago, the NFL, like literally a couple of years ago, Tony Romo was doing that fantasy thing in Vegas. And they were like, no, we, you know, you can't do that associated with Vegas, blah, 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 blah. And then now, I mean, Scott, I got to be honest, in 10 years, 15 years, I am not going to be shocked if there's an NFL themed casino in Las Vegas. Like it seems like that's where this is headed.
No, and this gives them license to go there, and you're absolutely right. It gives them license to embrace, you know, I think the gambling aspect, whereas 10 years ago, certainly 15 years ago, it was taboo. And you know, I've noticed that. I mean, you just look at ESPN, you know, as one of the mouthpieces for the league, and the shift in paradigm there in the last decade is phenomenal, honestly, on several levels. But I mean, one of them is certainly the way they deal with gambling. It was a no-no. You didn't touch it. You didn't go there. You didn't make explicit references to lines and spreads. And now, I mean, geez, you know, every day you turn on, you know, SportsCenter or Van Pelt or any of the shows, and, you know, it's all about, you know, the backdoor covers and this and that and the other.
Bad beats. So
it's a completely different world.
It is. It's amazing, because I do understand why the concern existed. And I know somebody who was involved in broadcasting a team where there was a point shaving at the collegiate level where they didn't know it at the time, but they went back when they were investigating this and they looked at this game and they said, wow, you know, you never would have looked at these balls that have been dribbled off a foot or thrown out of bounds in a bad pass. When you're viewed under the context of point shaving, things like that, then it becomes more clear. But it seems to me like that, whether or not gambling was legal or illegal, it's like that would have been a risk regardless. But I don't think that that's something that Vegas necessarily is going to usher in, as opposed to any other illegal or sanctioned gambling. I mean, if you look at soccer in Europe, they're all running around with the Bet365 logo.
Yeah, it's true. And you know, this certainly, at some point, there's going to be a scandal. There's going to be a major scandal, you know, with regard to point shaving or whatever it is, something gambling related, you know, directly related to the NFL. And it's going to be a PR nightmare. And you're going to get a lot of people saying, see, I told you this was a terrible idea. But right now, the powers that be don't give a hoot about that, because it's risk reward. And the reward right now outweighs the risk, I think, by a lot.
Well, so I know that you obviously have a gaggle of male friends, just like I do. Could you see you and your friends saying, hey, let's go to Vegas and go to a Raiders game and go to a casino and go to a show? I mean, does that appeal to you? Because you're, I mean, you're, well, guys like me and you, we're the prime demo for the NFL.
Well, and it's not a hard sell, because I do that once a year with my buddies anyway.
Yeah.
Usually I go in the summer and there's no football, but and usually I'm a little busy.
Just a little bit.
Hard to get off during, you know, those weekends in the fall. But in theory, if I had you know, days open and disposable income and nothing better to do, I would absolutely say, hey, let's go to Vegas for a weekend and go take in an NFL game. I'd do it, sure.
Yeah, no, it's just interesting, though, because I think there was so much question of whether or not it would actually become a reality, and now that we're looking at it, it's almost amazing to me, Scott, that this didn't happen sooner. And I wish I could see the memo or the paradigm shift in the NFL where they suddenly all decided, hey guys, this is actually a good idea, as opposed to just not wanting to have anything to do with it. I mean, it's such a shift.
Yeah, and the good news is, you know, eventually you'll just have to wait about, you know, 7, 8, 10 years until the 30 for 30
yes.
comes out on the NFL in Vegas, and then you'll know all.
I love that that's become one of the just go-tos in sports. Like, well, hey, I can't wait to watch the 30
exactly.
for 30 on this. I bet
right.
ESPN
that's
loves
the
that. They're like, we've made such a series that people are looking forward to the documentary about it in 10, 15 years. But again, we're talking to Scott Reese right now here on KNBR 1050. We were talking about baseball. We went from the A's to the Raiders to Las Vegas to the NFL to 30 for 30. I'm going to circle back around. What about the Giants, Scott? Matt Cain, he had an outing yesterday, 4 runs in 5 innings. You know, I really like Matt Cain, and I respect the hell out of him, but it seems like the writing is on the wall, but the Giants are intent on trying to get some value out of him.
I thought you were just going to stop with, he had an outing yesterday.
Yeah.
Because that's really the best.
The less said, the better.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just like his previous outings this spring, and we're not seeing any.